Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife Voicemail System. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hi, welcome everyone. Tonight we're going to have a really exciting show. I have with me our guest, Doc Mojo. He's originally from Houston, and he is actually going to come on and talk about his business, Midtown Mojo Manufacturing. So welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
No problem. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We were just sitting around the fire outside with me and a friend of mine, and we were just talking about house cleansing tonight before we came on the show.
Awesome. So my first question is, what exactly is Midtown Mojo? What do you do? What do you offer to people?
Midtown Mojo Manufacturers is a small home business that I started in 2011 to offer quality traditional products to modern practitioners.
And what kind of products do you have? I know you have, I'm looking on your Facebook, which is amazing, and you have some amazing, like I said, some amazing art. But you have like oils, and what sort of items do you guys sell?
Yeah, I sell. I do sell a lot of spiritual oils, dealing with a lot of different aspects in life, success, healing, love, luck, protection. I do a lot of other charms as well by fixing rabbit's feet or mojo bags. I also come out to people's houses or businesses to do cleansings, and I do personal cleansings for people and families as well.
And they can contact you, you know, through your Facebook, which we have up, if they're wanting to do, you know, something more personal where you come out and do a cleansing, correct?
Yeah, they can contact me. We have the Facebook page, Midtown Mojo Manufacturers, and soon we'll have a website coming out. We're still getting that developed. We have a lot of product that we have to put on the webpage, and people can just either send me a message through the Facebook page, or they can email us at midtownmojomfg@gmail.com, which that email address is on the Facebook page.
And, you know, I'm looking through your Facebook, and I know you have just written and published a book called Rose of Jericho. What exactly does the book entail?
The book entails it's suggested use on it's a suggested manual for how to use the Rose of Jericho, and what it talks about is kind of the history and the legend of the rose and where it comes from, and a little bit about its magical history, and then it goes into preparing the actual Rose of Jericho for a prosperity talisman for your business or your home. And then in towards the end, what it does is it goes into very vaguely in detail the different uses of the rose, on how to use it for expecting mothers, how to use it to heal the sick, to cleanse people, how to use it for protection and for luck, just various different ways on how to use it. And most importantly, how to care for the rose. That's the big thing that I noticed as a professional, is that a lot of people were utilizing the Rose of Jericho talisman, but they didn't know how to properly care for it, because it is a living plant.
I'm just curious, because I'm absolutely ignorant when it comes to a lot of the magic, but what exactly is the rose? I know it's a plant, but you know, Is it used often in a lot of rituals and things of that sort?
The Rose of
that might sound like a dumb question, but
No. The Rose of Jericho is an old talisman from back in the day, and most recently, it's began to have a bit of a renaissance in the magical community. It used to primarily be used amongst Latin American cultures in their magical traditions, and then it got picked up into the Western culture. But the Rose of Jericho, it's a ritual that you do to get it going. But it's more of a talisman. It sits in your house or your place of business and emits this power.
Hmm. That's interesting. When did you, if you don't mind me asking, when did you start getting involved with, I guess my first question is what is your religion that you work? Is it Voodoo?
Conjure is not a religion.
Okay.
Conjure is a faith-based practice. It's the raising and the setting of spirits and energies to manipulate situations.
That's interesting. When did you have someone kind of bring you into doing conjuring, or was it did you do solo practicing?
For a long time, I've been subject to a cultural practice of curandesmo and prayer, which came from a lineage in my family, was practiced by my grandmother in setting light for the sick or for other people for whatever needs that they had, and then as I came further into the city and progressed, I began to meet other practitioners of different forms of magic, and conjuring seemed to be where I was best at because of my thinking mind.
Hmm. I guess maybe you can, and this is kind of going off into more of a personal sector, but when was the first time that you really understood the power that conjuring has? Is there a story that behind it where you were like, yes, this is, I know I need to do this. This is, I need to help people and things like that. Is there there has to be a story behind it. So I'm just curious,
I've always helped people in this area, and this is really how it began to develop into a business, is that when I was young, I would see my grandmother pray for a lot of people, and she taught me a lot about herbs and a lot of their medicinal use and a lot of their spiritual use. And from there, I just lived a regular life, and my earliest experience, I don't remember, but my mom will always tell me, was when I was 6 years old, and they were in Mexico, and one of the curanderas was trying to read some wax, and no one could read the wax, and apparently I interpreted the wax. And then another time would be when I was 16. There was a very serious incident of demonic possession that happened, and that was a big eye awakening for me, and to see that it was a majority of my grandmother's prayers and how she did things that set these things back, that it became very real for me at that time. But as a young teenager, I just went through life, thinking that that was normal. And I joined the Marine Corps, and I kept on to certain, at that time, superstitions is what I called them, making protection sigils or praying and stuff like that. And I made two tours and I came back safe. And then when I moved into Houston, I started working seasonally for a shop here in Houston called the Magic Cauldron. And in that time, I started meeting a lot of people who needed an extra boost that wasn't so commercial. The problem with magic was that so many of the things that were on the shelf in most magic shops that you go to are very generic, and people have specific problems that they need to be dealt with. Situations are a case-by-case basis. So they needed somebody who was able to fix things for them based on their situation. You know, anybody can pull a protection oil off the wall, but if a protection oil is specifically designed towards your situation, it will work 100% better than the generic brand that you bought on the shelf. And it was through then that I realized, not so much through a big magical, you know, experience of sending a ghost back to the other side or, you know, things like that, but really seeing that what I was doing was helping people and improving their lives.
Yeah, that, I mean, most definitely that, you know, the need to help and to help people and to personalize is great, because I'm not at all an expert, you know, with the occult or with any kind of religion. But, you know, when you go, like, to New Orleans and you go into those shops, I don't buy anything because I think, you know, it's just such a generic, you know, basis for the stuff that they have in those, like, voodoo shops and things like that. I definitely would, you know, rather have someone I know do something more on a personal level. So that's great that you guys, you know, personalize and do one-on-one basis with people. I saw that I'm looking through your Facebook as we're talking. You have soaps. What exactly, and I'm curious on those, like, how do you use those? How do you use a soap? Is it a cleansing? Is it, you know, is it for rituals, or, you know, kind of give you, walk me through that.
The soap can be used on many, for many different reasons, but you apply it, all of them, the same way. And that's simply as you would a regular bar of soap that you buy from the store. The only difference is, let's say, for example, the midnight soap, right? And I have midnight oil. Which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? In this case, the oil came first before the soap. Midnight oil is designed to, quote-unquote, buy you more time, right? In essence, it doesn't buy you more time because time already exists. What midnight oil was made for and designed for was to help you prioritize your time so that you could accomplish tasks on time, right? But not everybody has the ability to put this oil on or burn this oil, right? Maybe they're going to work and you don't want to go to work with greasy, oily hands and you can't burn a candle at work. So what we do is we make the soap with the midnight oil. So in the morning, when you go to work, you just simply bathe with your midnight oil, with your midnight soap, and your skin is going to absorb the elements of the bars of soap. So you go to work the same way that your skin absorbs shea butter soaps and zest soaps and stuff like that. It's the same concept. And so you're taking that energy with you. That's the use of the soap.
Wow. I'm looking at your website and I'm like, I want this. And I want this, and I want this.
And all of our, you know, our products are not, they're not mass produced. And by that, I mean to say that we don't have gallons of it that we make. We make it in very small batches at a time. And I say we, but it's me. I make them in small, responsible batches at a time with, only elements that are natural. So the oils are natural, the herbs are fresh. We don't use any synthetic oils. That is, if you buy my oil, you're not buying it for the smell, you're buying it for the magical intent. Now, some of our oils do smell wonderful because we use essential oils in some of the mixtures. But most of them, it's fresh herbs. they're all cooked. They're all cooked and brewed in their magical times. If it's recommended that they are cooked in the hour of Venus, then we brew them in the hour of Venus. We use the different days and the times of the weeks, the hours, and the years to make these things. We don't just show up one evening and say, well, we're going to make protection oil tonight at whatever time we want to. No, we put a lot of heart and care into our product because people rely on this product to fix a problem, you know.
With when you, you know, do magic and things of that sort, well, my question is, because everyone that I ask or come on the show, they all have different perspectives of what magic entails and what it means to them. So, you know, my question is, because you are a practitioner and, you know, what does magic mean to you? Is it, you know, what does that mean to you? What does it resonate with you? I'm just curious. That's kind of off the mark, but I'm just curious on a personal level.
What does magic mean to me?
Yes.
That's a very good question. Magic to me is something that people do not generally believe in, but does exist. And what is it that does exist is an alternate plane of energies that can be used, that are unseen, that can be used here on this plane, that can be seen by utilizing tools of this plane to tap into that energy.
And, you know, I with the Christian, you know, perspective of, you know, they kind of lump some magic as evil, especially, do you have any trouble? I mean, is there a very big culture of, you know, magic in Houston, you know, or is it South a little different than maybe even the North with when it comes to magic and, you know, all that kind of stuff?
Houston is a very strong magical community in several different genres, but they fit the demographic. We have a lot of Latinos here, so the Santeria religion is very big here in Houston. We have a lot of Cubans. We have a lot of Puerto Ricans. We have a lot of Caribbean Islanders who have brought Ifá and Paulo Mayomba to Houston. We also have a lot of pagans and Wiccans in Houston who have embraced this lifestyle. And not all of them were born Christian. Not all of them were born pagan or Wiccan. A majority of them were of a Western religion and then converted to paganism and Wicca because it fit with them. And then you have a very small group of people in Houston who believe in just old Southern root work, which it's interesting that you say, you know, Christians see magic as evil, because yes, you have some Christians who are very fanatical and they say that witchcraft, you know, is a sin and it's evil. But if you look at the Bible, as many conjure practitioners have, there is magic and power in Christianity and in the Bible. Some of the greatest sorcerers that ever lived was Solomon and Moses, you know, Abraham, all of the patriarchs, you know, wonderful, wonderful sorcerers who did a lot. And the words of the Bible are used in conjure for much power.
Yes, I definitely believe with you, you know, even if you look at Catholics, you know, their mass and things of that, those are just rituals. You know, people tend to forget that, you know, those are rituals in themselves, like taking of the, you know, blood and body of Christ. Those are just rituals that we've stopped calling them what they are, you know?
Absolutely.
So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely, you know, living down in the South, you know, we do have a lot of Christians and people that look down upon that. And I was just curious of how it is in Houston, you know, if it's, if the...
In Houston,
you know,
the Christians have more of a problem with same-sex marriage than they do with drawing assault pentagrams.
It's true. That's true. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely, I'm always fascinated with all this, but if I always kind of end the radio show when I first talk to someone that's, you know, been in the, you know, practicing, for someone that's starting out, that thinks that they might have, you know, an inkling or a need to help people and to experience, you know, this kind of culture and religion, and what would you say to them? Is there, do you have any wisdom for people that are starting out or, you know, wanting to get into this? Is there anything you can kind of let them know?
For the people that are starting out, you'll have two types of people. You'll have the person born with the gift, and you'll have the person born without the gift. Now, both of them can become masters in magic. That is, the knowledge is out there. Both individuals will need to start off reading books. They will need to start off studying under people. The one who has a gift, let's say, for example, maybe their gift is divination. That is a gift that then they need to harness and develop. So what I would say is, if someone out there has moments, oh, I've been here before, or I know what's going to happen, or they get lost in smoke or in light or in tarot cards or whatever form of divination, I would tell that person with the gift to follow your heart and listen to your intuition. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to be wrong. We don't always get it in the beginning, but you can learn to develop your skill. And through time, you can better it and even perfect it. For the one who does not have the gift, they are still just as important, because they then, I suggest to them in the beginning that they read as much as they can, that they be knowledgeable in magic, and pay close attention to the study of it. The study of it is also very, very important.
And do you think that people should, you know, once they start studying, do a solo practicing, or is it better to kind of learn with a knowledgeable group of people? Is, you know, see if you can come into a group and learn from them. Is it better to do that, or is it okay to just go on your own and do it? That's my question, because I've read a lot of books, but I'm just hesitant to ever, you know, get into like any kind of rituals and things, because I don't know if I'm going to do it right. You know, so that's kind of a question I have.
As far as being a solitary, or as far, solitaries all have a teacher somewhere. They may not belong to a coven or a clan or a house or a nation or you know, secret society or whatever. But they did have someone who influenced them. It is recommended on any level that you do seek elderly advice. And by elderly, I don't mean someone who's way older than you, but someone who is more experienced than you. If you start working with more complicated magic like sigils and seals, I would suggest for people to start practicing underneath or apprenticing underneath someone who has experience with those sigils and seals, and learning from them. How do you draw them? You know, how do you apply them? Stuff like this. People working with herbs, you can read a book left, you know, cover to cover and know everything inside of it, but you still need to practice with an elder to learn how to apply those herbs, you know. I would recommend somebody first learn actual practices from an elder. Theories anyone can learn. And then from that point,
sure,
you make a decision. Do you join a coven? Do you join a clan? Do you join a group or something like that?
And I see that you got, you know, you do webinars, you know, where you teach people certain things, and that's awesome. Is it free, or do you have to pay a certain, you know, is it free to watch those and do those, or do you actually have to pay for them?
The webinars are paid-based, our most recent one that we did was Conjuring the Candle. It was $25 for the live webinar, and you get your money's worth. We also send, like, a recording of the session to you in the mail just in case you weren't able to catch the webinar. You get to see what everybody saw live. Also, I try to keep the content as informative as possible. I don't want to just take people through something that they can read in books, but I also want to show you how to do things. That's a real big thing that I've learned, is that a lot of people live remotely now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they
mm-hmm.
can't necessarily access that elder that can show them how to do something. And the modern day and age in which we live in has bridged that gap through audio and visual technology. So I can reach somebody in Michigan and they can see me how I cut a candle and how I fix it and how I load it, and they can apply that same best practice into their practice.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And now that I know, I think I'm going to be definitely signing up to some of your webinars, because I'm very interested. It was amazing.
That webinar footage is available for people to purchase. It was 2.5 hours. It was only meant to be 2 hours, and I extended it 30 minutes because I just wanted to pour so much knowledge into people.
Hey, the more knowledge, the better. So they can go to your Facebook page and contact you, and, you know, if they want the video and all of your products are on your Facebook. So I definitely want you to plug that again, and how they contact you, because we're getting down to about a minute. So I want everyone to know how to get a hold of you. So I'm just going to let you, you know, give them that information.
They can contact me on my Facebook page, Midtown Mojo Manufacturers. We're the only ones there. They can contact me on my personal page, Oscar Gonzalez Yatsira, and MidtownMojoMFG@gmail.com, or they can call direct 832-526-7618. That's our number. They can leave us a message. We'll call them back when we can.
Awesome. Definitely everybody, go to his page. He's awesome. They have, looks like very intricate and awesome items for sale. So I'm definitely going to be giving you all my money pretty soon. But I thank you so much for coming on and kind of letting us know what you have to offer. And like I said, you're always welcome to come back. And if you want to share some more of your wisdom and, you know, information with us, we would love to have you back.
Absolutely.
Well, this is going to end the show for everyone. Thanks for everyone who's listening in, and we will be back next Saturday. So thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.